Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning for the morning interview are a couple of aviators. I've got Lieutenant Lance Leone from the U.S. Coast Guard is here. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning.
And Bob Menninger, director of our Sitka Historical Society and a pilot himself.
Well, yep, back in the day.
Good morning. And this year's Alaska Day Festival is right in the bullseye, I can tell, of your interest. I mean, you are so excited about this, you can hardly contain yourself.
People keep telling me that. Yes, you're right. Aviation history in Southeast Alaska with kind of a Sitka flavor, and from the very first plane that came in here in 1923, only 20 years after Orville and Wilbur took to the air.
Wow.
Through, you know, the early 20s, each plane that came was a huge event. That whole town went down to the water. The schools went out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just what those guys did and the support system. And
yeah, and there are people still around connected to those days. I mean, tight connections. It's amazing. The panelists that you've got for some of these events and this possible arrival of a PBY Catalina in Sitka this week. Just amazing. You got three things coming up, I guess Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right. Thursday, tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., the exhibit room will open, and my curator, Jackie, is putting together a tremendous set up with historical pictures, artifacts, things telling this history of aviation in Sitka and Southeast. That's worth seeing. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll start our Sitka Historic Society annual meeting as a nonprofit. That'll run pretty quick, and we've got a special announcement that'll be coming during that. And then at 7:30, we go right into a slideshow that my assistants are going to be Andrew Miller from the Maritime Heritage Society. Flying boats and ships had a huge role in this early part, so he'll speak to that part of the show. And then I'll cover kind of the middle part as we moved into the 30s, and this amazing guy, Bob Ellis, who's going to be spread through the whole show, and his early flying through World War II, the Naval Operating Base, the PBYs, the early aviation. And then Bill Foster, Mr. History in Sitka here also, and he'll talk about the transition from some of the smaller companies to Alaska Airlines. And then the highlight really of the night is going to be this panel discussion, as Rob mentioned, with Sabra Jenkins, whose dad was Bob Ellis, who I've just grown to be so fond of in the last week as I've boned up on all that he did. Jim Johnson, former employee of Alaska Coastal and then later on Alaska Airlines, and his sister Lois Rhodes. Jim was just instrumental in Alaska becoming what it became. Ken Bellows from Flying Fisherman, 40,000 hours flying in Southeast. Here's one of those pilots that can talk about that stuff. And for me, one of the highlights is going to be Bud Rood. He's turns 80 this year. He started flying in Alaska in 1946, flew 12, 13 different aircraft, including the Goose, the PBY, owned a dozen PBYs at one point in his life, Sikorsky flying boats, DC-3s, 6s, 7s, and we'll talk about his plane, which may come up. And so that'll be just a highlight of Thursday.
Okay, and that takes us to Friday at the Coast Guard hangar.
And we couldn't stuff it all in Thursday, Rob, so we had to add another day. Matt Hunter has been preparing a tremendous presentation on the Sitka Naval Operating Base with about a dozen different aircraft that came in there during its history, but he's going to focus on the PBYs, and I learned stuff from him that blew me away in terms of those aircraft and what they did around here. And then I'll talk a little bit about the post-war transition to civil aviation, but one of the highlights, too, of these PBYs, the fact that they could fly 10, 15 hours and go 1,000 miles out, 1,000 miles back. One of their unsung stories during the war was they saved thousands of downed airmen in the water and on islands. And that takes us really to a beautiful transition where the Coast Guard came to Alaska. And one of our co-presenters and a panelist that night is going to be Lieutenant Lance Leone, a naval aviator and chopper pilot. And Lance, what are you going to present?
Well, good morning, Sitka. Well, you know, the PBY we started using, and we obviously saw that the the benefits of being able to rescue people using a boat that could also fly. But my job Friday night will be to take you back to the dawn of Alaskan Coast Guard aviation history, a time before the helicopter, a time when two pilots and five maintainers arrived at Annette Island with a flying boat. We'll take the audience on a journey of discovery covering 67 years, ending with three MH-60 Tango helicopters and 130 people stationed here in Sitka. Our current air station is part of the newest Coast Guard city, working with the community to ensure boaters and residents are protected. Bud Rood, the owner of the PBY that we hope to get up here, and I will also be providing a question and answer period covering the 80 years of Alaskan aviation history from the PBY all the way through to the unbelievable technology we have today.
Yeah, Lance, I didn't realize that the Coast Guard started in PBYs. I mean, everybody just thinks of the Coast Guard and helicopters, but it was started out with fixed wing, actually landing on the water.
Yeah, it was right as naval aviation began 100 years ago, it was immediately apparent that when you had aircraft flying far away from boats, you'd also need some kind of aircraft to go rescue these daring airmen that had no radios and no weather, no navigational charts, and really kind of learning to fly by their seat of their pants every time they went out. They didn't get to go through a 2-year training that I went through. They kind of just were thrown the keys, pulled the ignition, and jumped in this aircraft and learned as they went, maybe from another pilot, but sometimes, during the World War I, they were just told to go fly and figure it out as you did it. So definitely have come a long way.
Wow. And what do you think when you look back? I mean, I'm looking at some of these pictures, these biplanes and things. I mean, Bob, you mentioned that, what was it, just how soon after Orville and Wilbur Wright flew?
The first plane was actually brought here by a ship, a naval refueler, and it was lowered to the water, 1923, and it took to the sky. It was part of what the Navy did for the first several trips into Alaska was surveying with cameras to track the coast, use it both for mapping, geodetic survey mapping, but also actually over time to help the forest industry by into the 30s. So several of those trips and the presentations are going to talk about that technology. But I'm going to go back to what Lance is saying here too. This Bob Ellis, I keep coming back to this guy. He was the navigator. He was 26 years old on the first flight from Seattle nonstop to Juneau, 1929. And then eventually started up his business and was, again, flying by the seat of his pants, no weather reports. He talks in his book about having to drop down low to the water, and he said not 200 feet, not 100 feet, not 50, 5 feet over the water when they couldn't see. He didn't have any, equipment to help him fly IFR. And here he said, and then he said eventually he'd land the float plane on the water and taxi. And eventually, into World War II, he was the commander of the Kodiak base. He was training airmen how to fly. These young pilots came up with these naval planes. They had him train these guys how to fly in Alaska. They picked the best of the best, and he was one of them.
It's just amazing. Lance, can you even get your mind around? I mean, nobody knows better than you what it's like to fly in adverse conditions in Southeast Alaska. I mean, what were those guys doing in those incredible old machines flying around with, no navigation? I mean, was it just courage, or were they just facing the reality of the day? I mean, is that just the way pilots are?
Well, I think, you watch the weather change around here, how rapidly it changes. So I think as much skills as they had, I think a lot of this has to be luck. And obviously a lot of people were lost, but when you're going through these passes around here and you have a 20-knot wind that's then funneling through a pass and all of a sudden 100 knots, and you only have an aircraft that's able to fly at 50 or 60 knots, then you're going backwards. So I can't imagine, and I'm glad that they did it, and I'm glad that these relics that we have around still, luckily, like Bud Rood, that they really put their necks out there, and instead of just throwing your hands up and giving up and saying, this is too dangerous, we are definitely never going to fly like the birds because, a couple people go into the side of a mountain or something. They just kept pushing it. And as the technology advanced, now we have GPS, we have moving maps, stuff that really almost belittles how difficult it was back in the day when you didn't have, I mean, not even to have a weather, I mean, this is before satellites, so they had no clue what was coming off the Gulf.
No weather reports.
So you take off and it's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm sure many boaters have done this and head out to Bjorka for a small fishing trip, and then all of a sudden, here comes the seas. Well, when you're flying, that's going to hit you, and then you can't see, and you got to land on the water.
Wow.
So those PBYs and the initial flying boats, I can't imagine trying to land on the water and pull some out of a sinking boat in seas. That takes courage.
PBY update. I spoke with the owner, Bud Rude, this morning. They took the plane out yesterday to fly it, make sure it was good. It's fueled up. We do not have permission from the FAA yet to bring it north. Bud's hopping on the jet tomorrow. He'll be landing in the morning. I'll be picking him up. If we get the approval, the plane's coming. Rob, we may need to push the days out a little ways, but if we can get it here, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're still gonna pull it off and get the word out. So that really will be a highlight, bringing that vintage aircraft that he owns here to Alaska. And there's very few of these flying on the West Coast. There's only two of them, actually.
Right. Right now. And Lance, you guys are going to house the PBY over at the hangar.
That's correct.
If it comes, I just want to see a PBY and a Jayhawk side by side. You know, I just want to see that.
Me too.
I think externally, it would be a nice thing to see, but then to actually sit in the cockpit and see the difference between, I'm sure they've upgraded the PBY to be able to fly in today's FAA air system here, but to see the difference, these steam gauges and just kind of, you know, holding your hand out the window to feel if it's raining or not, or if there's ice.
And Rob, if we get it, the highlight's going to be, and I've talked to the chief pilot, Bud won't be flying it for this event, but they're going to land in the channel and taxi, just like it did back in the late 30s and 40s, and go right up the ramp by UAS and shut down those engines, and we'll be able to look at it, talk about it, and then take off. I mean, it'll take us back, you know, 60, 70 years.
And if all goes according to schedule, that'll be Saturday at 11 a.m.
It'll be on exhibit at the Coast Guard along with the fly-in from 11 till 3, and around 2:30 or 3, we're going to try to do the fly. High tides at 2:30, but again, you know, listen to the radio, we'll have something in the paper, and we just, right now, it's not permitted to come. We've done all the paperwork at the FAA, I've been in contact with them almost every day. Murkowski's office has been helping us, okay. So not quite yet.
Well, good luck. Gentlemen, we're out of time. Let's just recap quickly. So, Bob, tomorrow evening, the Sitka Historical Society opens its doors at 6:30, annual meeting at 7, then this amazing group of panelists talking about aviation history. It's free and open to the public.
Absolutely.
And then Friday, Lance, you'll be over at the Coast Guard hangar with Matt Hunter, and hopefully Bud Rude
is coming.
It's just still to be determined whether the PBY Catalina will be there at that time. Going to be talking about naval aviation history and how the Coast Guard got a toehold here, first in flying boats and then in helicopters. And then Saturday, this fly-in, 11 a.m. to 2:30 over at the Coast Guard hangar with, hopefully, fingers crossed, a PBY landing in the channel pull out onto the old runway over at UAS. Yeah. What a week. What an amazing thing you guys have put together. Thanks a lot for coming in and talking about it.
Thank you for having us.
Lieutenant Lance Leone is a pilot with the U.S. Coast Guard here in Sitka. Bob Menninger is also a pilot and the director of the Sitka Historical Society.